everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today. Now, from time to time, I like to talk about animals because when it comes to being about food, animals are a big part of the conversation. And as you probably know, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that my motivation behind talking about food and my motivation for what I choose to eat today started when I thought about animals when I was a teenager and decided that I didn't want to kill other sentient beings. I started to realize what it was that was on my plate, and not, it wasn't an it, but it was a who, a he or a she, something that wanted to live its life as passionately as I did and wanted to roam freely, make his or her own choices. And that's led me on the path that I've been on ever since. And we talk about health and the power of plant foods. We talk about the environment, but for me, my motivation is the animals. So we talk about animals from time to time, and guess what? We're going to be talking about them right now. I'm going to bring on my first guest, Hope Bohannock. She's got a new book out called The Ultimate Betrayal. She has been active in animal protection and environmental activism for over 20 years and is a nationally recognized leader and speaker in the animal protection movement. Many years ago, while living 80 feet off the ground in a redwood tree so it would not be cut, Hope dedicated herself to animal and environmental causes and has since organizing countless events, demonstrations, and fundraisers. She has led campaigns like getting the San Francisco Board of Supervisors to sign a Veg Day resolution encouraging meat-free eating in the city, and was the Sonoma County coordinator for a statewide proposition to help protect farm animals. She co-founded the North Bay's Compassionate Living Outreach while working as the campaign's director in defense of animals. Hope lives with her soulmate and co-author, Kojin Bohannock, in Pen Grove, California, just an hour north of the Golden Gate Bridge, where they have been blissfully married for 13 years. Welcome, Hope, to It's All About Food.
Thank you, Karen. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so you've been working at this a long time. Why did you decide to write The Ultimate Betrayal now?
I have been in it a long time, like you said. I've been vegan for 24 years.
Woo.
And you know, the conversations that I've been having with people about animal agriculture and how animals are being raised, you know, the conversations have been shifting over the last maybe 5 years or so to something different, something new. And I'm having conversations with people, and especially in the area that I'm in. I'm, you know, just like you said, in Sonoma County, north of San Francisco. There's a big movement, the slow food movement, know your farmer and farmers markets. And I think a lot of this is really great stuff. We're really starting to look at our plate and can what's there and wonder about where it came from. So these are all good things. But something that's happening is people are starting to say, oh, well, you know, but, you know, when I'm talking about animal products, meat, dairy, eggs, they'll say, oh, well, but my eggs are free range. Well, but my meat is organic. And, you know, they almost feel like the conversation has ended, like mm-hmm. the animals are happy, mm-hmm. everything's okay now, you know, and they're doing the right thing. And so I felt that this is something that really needed to be looked into, really needed to be deeply researched, and that's what I did with this book, The Ultimate Betrayal, Is There Happy Meat? And, you know, and the thing I want to tell those people is, you know, thank you so much for caring. Thank you for looking into what you're eating and actually seeking out labels and products that, you know, are doing better for the animals and for the environment. But did you know the truth behind those labels? Mm-hmm. Do you know the truth and what's really going on with those labels? And so that's what I really go into in the book, both ethically, what's happening, what those animals' lives are really like on these supposedly alternative farms, and also the environmental impact. Is it more sustainable? And it's really interesting what I found.
I think there's two things going on here, and it makes our job doubly difficult. And one is the fact that over the last 100 years or so, we've been moving towards all kinds of industrialization, and our food has become synthetic. It's not fresh. It's not real. It's not whole. And many people today are eating foods that have been so manipulated in so many different ways, and we see detrimental effects with our health and with the environment. But the other thing is something that's been going on for as long as I think humanity's been around, at least. Humans have been eating animals. That's something that's been going on for a long time and hasn't changed. And now we're starting to think about it, although there have been cultures all through humanity's history that have had people that have abstained from eating animals or exploiting animals. So our job is doubly difficult now. But the good thing is, I think that, as you said, people are starting to think about their food and where it comes from. And I think it's important, too, to align with those people on the issues that we agree with, getting whole, fresh, locally grown when possible, healthy food, plant food, preferably,
right,
and not
right,
genetically modified, right, and change our food systems around. But now let's get to the ultimate betrayal.
Yes.
So I read your book, and there's a lot of important information in there. I've highlighted a few of it, and hopefully we can get to some of it. The first thing that popped out was the Cambridge Declaration on Consciousness. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, fascinating thing that happened. Just recently, there was a group of scientists, neurological neurobiologists, brain and emotion and psychological type scientists that got together, had a conference, a big summit type event, and they actually they documented what you just said, the Cambridge, I have it in front of me, but what's it called again?
The Cambridge Declaration on Consciousness. It's a mouthful. Yeah.
Thank you. And what they basically were saying is that animals have the same cognitive abilities, the same emotional capacities as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, groundbreaking and really amazing. And it comes from just this body of science. I mean, all these scientists have done all these different studies, and they all have come together now saying, look, this is the findings. This is the declaration. Animals have the cognitive ability and emotional capacity just like humans. And something that's happened in the last maybe 10 years is that we're finally realizing that animals suffer.
Yeah.
That they're not just automatons, they're not just, machines. No, they are feeling beings that actually can experience pain as we do. They can suffer like we do. But this is a step further. This is actually saying that they have the emotional capacity to feel misery, to be sad, to be joyous, to be celebratory, all those things that we think are uniquely human. No. Now science is saying that that we need to open that circle up in our minds to animals as well.
This is information is hard to swallow, figuratively and literally.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we see it with our companion animals that people like to call pets, the
right,
animals that some people choose to live with. Many people realize the personalities that their companion friends have, that they're, and all the emotions that they feel. I mean, many people know this, even people that eat meat, and then you wonder, why are they not connecting the dots? I think it was,
right,
you quoted Captain Machado, I think, who talked about
Machado.
Yeah, killing dogs is a felony and you get jail time, but then killing hundreds, thousands, cows, you get a paycheck.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, there's some kind of, many, many people recognize that dogs and cats have these emotional capacities that, you know, they know that when they come home, their dog gets excited and happy. They know that when they're about to go out on a walk, the dog is all excited, so it's anticipating the future happiness that it can have on that walk. There's lots of emotion and rich emotion going on with the dogs and cats. And people, but somehow we have put farm animals in a different category. And of course, this, what does this do? It makes it easier for us to exploit them, easier for us to eat them. And people really believe that somehow farm animals don't have the same capacity for, you know, for these feelings, emotions, and rich, emotional lives. And, you know, and it's just this, I don't know what, a disconnect, something that we've been able to put them in this category. And even to the extent in our laws, you know, we have comprehensive animal cruelty laws for cats and dogs, like you were saying. Captain Cindy Machado of the Marin Humane Society, she's been there over 20 years, and she sees it all the time that, you know, what someone could never get away with and would be, everyone would be horrified for someone, the way they treat a dog, you know, abusing a dog, but then they do the same kind of horrible things to farm animals, and, you know, and it's overlooked. It's considered an agricultural exemption. That's often what it's called, or reasonable care standard, meaning that, you know, some kind of procedure in animal agriculture is necessary. It's commonplace to making a profit on that product. And it's, but so because of that, it's not considered cruel in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the local, you know, animal control, but it absolutely is cruel. And we have exempted farm animals from those standards, both, you know, both in the law and just in our own perception.
In your book, you go over lots of different terms, and I wanted to touch on some of them because they're important. And you mentioned in the beginning of the show as well, there are people, conscious consumers, whatever they may call themselves, where they feel like they want to know where their food's coming from, and they want to know that if they're eating animals, they've been raised well. So we hear terms like grass-fed and free-range and humane.
Yes.
What do these things really mean?
Yeah. Well, I go into extensive detail on each of these labels in the book. And, you know, and each label means different things. And there's different, there's a wide range of variances from, you know, the conventional standard factory farm to a more small scale, you know, more this supposedly humane farm. There's so many variables in between. But something that all these farms have in common are these inherent cruelties that you just can't get away from. Yes, some of them may give them a little more space. Some of them may have them out of the cages. But that's not the only misery that these animals endure, and it's not the only hardship of their lives. A good example would be Clover Dairy. It's a very popular dairy here in the Northern California, Oregon, Washington area. And Clover Dairy, you know, they very much use these buzzwords. They tout themselves as local and humane. They are actually, they have the certified humane, American certified humane label, which is supposed to be the best of the best as far as humane goes. I talked extensively to one of the managers at Clover Dairy, and, you know, I asked her, so, well, what happens to the calves when the calves are born? And she said, oh, well, they get taken away. Mm-hmm. And I said, right at birth? She said, oh, yeah, you know, right at birth or soon after. And I said, well, you know, wouldn't you consider that cruel? I mean, this poor calf is going to have to be torn from its mother. The mother who just carried this baby is never going to be able to experience that bonding and love. I mean, that's, you know, an extreme cruelty. And they just don't see it that way. Not necessarily that they don't see it that way, but they have to do it. They have to do it to make a profit. They have to sell that milk. There's no other way to do it. It is inherent in the industry. So there's these inherent cruelties that they'll never be able to get away with, or away from, rather. And, you know, and also the baby males. I asked, well, what happens to the baby males? Of course, the females are going to be separated from the mother, but then go back into the dairy industry. What about the baby males? they're a waste product. They don't give milk, so they go to auction, often for veal, sometimes just for meat, but, you know, and certainly not in another certified humane someplace. You know, it's, there, the industries are so, unfortunately, you know, reliant on the cruelty and the way things are. There's just no way to make a profit and leave the human. These cows go to slaughter within, you know, five or so cycles of years of having babies. You know, their body begins to be depleted from all the intense, strain of pregnancy after pregnancy, and then they're going to go to slaughter as well. And that's maybe the equivalent of their teens. I mean, these cows could live to be 20 years, but they're going to slaughter at four. So it, you know, first of all, there's so little difference, you know, mm-hmm. in a commercial operation and these supposedly mm-hmm. certified humane operations. There's things they cannot get away from. And also, I want to point out labels that we're talking about, you know, local, grass-fed, all these. There is so little regulation and so little oversight on these labels. Most all of these labels, all a farmer has to do is fill out a form. And they fill out that form, and they send it into the USDA, and the USDA gives it a stamp of approval and sends it right back. No one goes out to the farm to inspect. No one goes out to see what's really going on. You know, there's so little oversight. It's very sad.
So who did you write this book for?
I wrote this book for two people. I had two target audiences, and the main target audience is, of course, people that are seeking these alternatives, that hear about the factory farming and are concerned for the animals, and they're going to Whole Foods and they're going to Trader Joe's and they're looking for these labels. They're, you know, wanting to do something better. And I really want them to know the truth and to know the whole picture and not just to hear what that company has to say, because that company is trying to sell a product. And they're not going to give you the whole story of what happened to those animals. So I want to give that story and give the truth behind those labels. So I wrote it for them. My secondary audience, though, is definitely vegans and vegan activists,
yeah,
because I want us to be informed of these things, because the conversation is shifting. We've got the factory farming talk. We've got that stuff down. We've got those talking points. We know, that's free. This is a new story and a new way that that animals are being raised and that things are being labeled. And so I'm hoping that, you know, they'll get good information. That I have in this book, I have wonderful scientific studies, great stories of the animals themselves, some animals that have been rescued from these farms, from these small-scale farms. And so they'll have stories and science to tell when they're talking to people about these issues.
Yeah, I agree that for the second audience there, the ones who are already with us, the activists, this is a great read to have information in their pocket to give to people, because a lot of other people are going to be talking about slow food and humane farming, and this is really important for them.
I've actually had a lot of, you know, vegans and vegan activists tell me that they learned so much, you know, that they went into the book thinking that they probably would already know a lot of it, but that they learned a lot, because it really is kind of a new world with all these labels. So yeah, there's a lot to learn.
Yeah, there definitely is. And I love the stories. And it's so important to include individual stories about individual sentient beings. These aren't individual people stories. These are individual animal stories. And they're really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
We just
have
a couple minutes left, and I wanted to talk about some of the good news. So you mentioned that meatless or meat-free products grew 21% in the last couple of years from 2009 to 2011. Very encouraging.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And actually, if that trend continues, we could see, I mean, this is, you know, if that exponential growth rate continued, 80% of America would be vegan by 2050. I mean, it's so exciting and so amazing. And I mean, you know, who knows that could happen in that kind of a growth rate, but it's really pushing forward. And I also talk about how, I've seen just personally such an amazing shift in the 24 years. Back when, you know, when I first went vegan 24 years ago, you know, all there was like powdered soy milk that you had to add to water, you know, and it was chalky and terrible. And if you wanted a cookie, you had to bake it. I mean, there was nothing. And now it's everywhere. We've got vegan donuts. We've got, you know, everybody knows the word now when you go into a restaurant. It's, we've come so far in such a short period of time.
There's really no reason not to do it because the food is absolutely delicious. And even if you choose to eat a very health promoting, plant based, clean diet, the food is delicious. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
Well,
And everywhere. You can find it at.
What's your website so people can find out more about your book?
Yes, it's the title of the book, dashes in between the words, so it's www.the-ultimate-betrayal.
Okay, very good. And just before we go, I just wanted to mention one other item. That Democrats and Republicans, this goes beyond party lines. There's an equal number of vegetarians between them. So that was really, really encouraging to
read. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
No, I love that. There's something that we can all agree on.
That's right. Say hallelujah. Thank
Animals
you.
Animals be treated with respect.
Yes. Thank you, Hope, for joining me. And it's all about food. I really enjoyed your book and wish you all the best with it. We're going to take a quick break and be back in a moment. Stay with us.